podcast is brought to you by
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A. member FDIC.
The days of the cowboy may be long gone, but their memory still lives on in the smooth taste of a Red Apple cigarette. The Red Apple Tobacco Company has been manufacturing the best tasting tobacco products since 1862. Whether you buy them in a pouch, a carton, or a pack, with Red Apple's flavor guarantee, we've always got your back. So if you're looking for the best drag with the best tobacco flavor with less burn on your throat than any other non-filter cigarette, then you're looking for Red Apple Cigarette. So go on, take a bite, and feel all right. Take a bite of a Red Apple.
Away we go.
Inside and get yourself something cool to drink.
Condescend me, man. Fucking kill you, man.
Man, fuck that shit. I ain't finna shoot nobody.
Oh, you know I can't let you go without tapping that ass.
How you like the sound of them bells, bitch? They real pretty, ain't they?
God damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet shit.
What's special? Take in the back and suck your dick.
Bravo. Bravo.
Welcome all you QT faithful to the latest edition of Tarantino Speculation, the quarterly news and information series here on the Church of Tarantino podcast, where we ruminate, hypothesize, and speculate on all the latest developments in the Tarantinoverse. I'm your host, the Reverend Scott K., and it is my pleasure to welcome to our spring episode, host of the Making Tarantino podcast, Mr. Phil Duke. Welcome to the speculation, Mr. Duke, and may Tarantino be with you always.
May Tarantino be with you as well. I'm so excited to be on. It's nice when I don't have to host my show. When I don't have to run it, I'm just along for the ride. You just pull me along.
I think when this show is over with, I'm just going to do guest spots because I am with you. Mm-hmm. I've been on a few guest spots and it's awesome. Yeah. I sit down, I talk, yeah. I hit stop, I send them my audio, mm-hmm. and I walk the fuck away.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the Tarantino universes have collided once again. This is our second helping together. You were on my Under the Influence for Kill Bill Volume 1 last year, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, you and Mr. Devon Taylor were on that episode. And now you're back. You're back to speculate on a couple of things that have gone on. And, you know, we'll get into that in a minute. But what have you been up to lately? And how is your podcast going? As I know, you've had some changes on it since we last spoke.
Yes, I am. We were talking off mic, but my cousin and I were doing the show. When I first started the show, I said, look, there are going to be some weird movies because basically my podcast is a list of movies that Quentin Tarantino likes or recommends. So when I first found the list, it was 350 movies. I went through, found out if they're available. If they're not, then I didn't put them on there. If we had to buy them, it was no. But I said, okay. And then I go, here's the list of movies. He goes, okay. I go, you know, there's some shitty movies on there, really crappy ones. He goes, I'm fine. I'll take it. I said, okay. And then he's in it for 3 months, maybe more. And he was like, I can't do this. he goes, these are horrible. And I'm like, he goes, I'm not as into it as you are, and just get some other people. And I was like, fuck, well, what am I going to do now? I'm stranded. I got nobody. And he goes, reach out to your friends, like your four friends, and you do one each week and da da da. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm reaching out to them. And they're like, maybe I'm kind of available this month, not that month. And then finally, people on Twitter and on Instagram and other podcasters are like, hey, can I be on your show? And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. And so started having them on. And my cousin's like, he's listened to a little bit of it. That's the other thing. Sometimes people come out, they're like, I don't even listen. He'd never listened. Mm-hmm. But he's like, I listen when those guys are on and you're having a really good film discussion. And that's what you needed. And I'm like, yeah, I agree. So now I got all these people that where I got to go, okay, who's next? I already had that guy last month. Let me have, you know, so it's really fun.
It is a fun route because as we were talking before I started recording, is I had a similar journey. I had an older podcast. That podcast ended due to my co-host not being able to continue doing a starting new family, which is then how the church came about. And at the time, I was like, well, shit, what am I going to do? How am I, you know, no one wants to just hear one guy talk into the darkness. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just hear one guy drone on. But then you meet new people and you realize that there are people who want to talk to you. And then it's kind of like you meet brand new friendship group that you suddenly have because now, you know, and now you're talking with those people. Do you feel, though, after you talk to somebody and you know you've had a great conversation, you're all jazzed about it, then you have to move on to talk to someone else. Do you feel like you're cheating sometimes on people? Like you're not being like a loyal friend? Because sometimes I feel bad. I'm like, I just had a great talk with like Frank or so-and-so. And then it's like, well, next week I'm talking with Phil and then I'm going to talk with Devon. It's, I feel like, oh man, I'm cheating on all these people and they don't know about each other.
Yeah, especially when one of the hosts will be like, so what do you think? Was that the best show that we did? Was that your best show ever? And I'm like, well, I kind of like the first one that we did, like Rolling Thunder was good. And it was like, oh, okay. Or somebody would be like, hey, you know, was our show good? Well, yeah, it was good. But, you know, so-and-so, we had a really good discussion. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, though, is some of those people only listen to the ones that they're on.
Yeah.
Some of them, though, will be like, it's the other thing with the podcast community. It used to be, it's not like we're fighting for superiority. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, hey, man, can I be on your show? Sure. Yeah. Can I be on yours? Yeah. And with these guys who are just like, you know, I really liked what that guy, somebody who was on the show might be like, I listened to your other guy. He was full of information. I had my pen and paper and I'm writing everything down, like really exciting. So I'm like, okay. And that's my thing too, is I'm not being too like everything written and structured. I have a structure, but it's more of the passion. And I think that's what people get is like, oh, I hear this passion from this guy. I want to be on there now and talk because I have a passion. So, yeah.
So just some advice out there for you folks. If you get on a podcast, just have fun on it. Don't ask follow-up questions if yours was good or it sucked because it puts the host in a tough spot. But also, just move on. Just be glad you're on the show. That's what I do. I never ever asked if, if it was good. I'm just like, you know what? I think it gave my best. I hope they did good. You'll know it's good if they ask you back. How's that? If you get asked back for a second time, then you know you were good.
Yeah.
Let's go to work.
All right, well, it has been 3 months since I last had anything to talk about. I do it every 3 months. And we've been in the doldrums for a little bit here with any real information from Tarantino. As, you know, we had the writer strike, we had the actor strike, so a lot of things got cooled off. But he has done some other things. Now, we start off our spring edition with some cool news. Back in February, Tarantino's new Vista Theater that he opened last year had its cafe, which is aptly named Pam's Coffee. Spelled C-O-F-F-Y, for those of you who don't know, that's the name of a movie that Pam Grier's in. Now, he named it, obviously, as an homage to Miss Grier and her iconic blaxploitation role of coffee. Now, Pam's Coffee features custom blend coffee and food curated by Mr. Tarantino himself, and sometimes the man even works the counter on special occasions. Yes.
Oh,
now, anyone who's seen anything on the internet, the walls are adorned with old movie posters and shelves packed with collectibles from an era that has long gone by. Now, as with all of his theaters, all movies shown are on film and film only, no digital copies. Now, the reason I bring this up is because they have a great Instagram page. They sell a cup. So the coffee logo is Pam's character from coffee. They use her head. She's got the afro. It's got the coffee underneath. And on the back, it says Coffee by Tarantino. So it's a pretty cool looking cup that they sell.
And it's the Tarantino yellow on that color.
Yes, it is. Yes. Now, the reason I bring this up, because besides it being cool and now a new location for my mecha journey out there when this final film is dropped, Mr. Duke, unbeknownst to my listeners, recently went on a pilgrimage to LA to check out some of QT's movie locations. Now, did you by chance get a chance to drop in to the Vista and check out Pam's Coffee?
The Vista hadn't opened yet. I wanted to, and now when I look up the price of a coffee cup, it's $40, and I go, is it cheaper if I go there? Because now if you buy it, $40, and then you got to send it to you, but like you've said, like you've bought stuff for your Tarantino journey, a bunch of Funko Pops, a bunch of Jimmy, whatever. So I'm like, well, I'm probably going to buy that coffee cup. But the Vista wasn't open yet, but I stayed at the Safari Motor Inn Motel from True Romance. And, you know, it was lit. Everything was just cool. And then I'm like, can I go up on that little landing above the pool? And they were like, that closes at 10, but you can go before 10, blah, blah, blah. Stayed there, took a lift, went down to the new Bev, saw a double feature. The things are only $6 each for the double features at the new Bev. And it was the Eye of the Cat and the game had like James Caan in it. But my friend who went with me, she was like, after one movie, she was like, it's kind of horrible. It's like a shitty movie. Like, I'm going to go back to the hotel. So I stayed for the double. But then I met my friend met us there who does a podcast called Cinemigos. So I was like, well, let's go to a bar afterwards. So afterwards went to a bar, had a drink. I'm like, you're not going to murder me, are you? Cause I don't know this guy. So had some beers and hung out, talk movies. And thing about the new Bevan, I'm sure the Vista is the same way. It's this reverence for film. It's everybody's in line. There's one little snack bar, you know, counter there. So you're going up, maybe you're buying a shirt, maybe you're buying a drink, and they have really good popcorn. And nobody's like, move the fuck along. Come on, bitch. It's just everybody's waiting. The movie might be playing the previews. Yeah. And people are just waiting in line calmly. And the thing that I was kind of surprised with but understood was, you know, we all kind of want a Mystery Science Theater. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to maybe yell at the screen about, like, my friend, she was like, I had a bunch of jokes I wanted to yell. But they were like, no yelling at the screen. You can interact and clap and laugh and do all that, but don't talk back to the screen. It's like, but that's what Quentin Tarantino grew up
yeah.
going to the, you yeah. know, the blaxploitation films. And so it was like, okay, but it was really cool. And then my buddy, the buddy that I met there to have beer and had beer, he went to the Vista and they played A Fistful of Dollars and For a Few Dollars More on Technicolor, like IB Technicolor print. And he said it was beautiful and it was awesome. And I'm like, well, damn, I need to go. Like, yeah. After that, we went to Pat and Lorraine's, which is where they filmed Reservoir Dogs, a cafe, and had coffee and, you know, some breakfast. They had good breakfast, good coffee, and, you know, all that.
Did you tip?
It's all good. Yes, of course I had to. I don't want to get yelled at.
So that's awesome. Yeah, it's now on my list to do. Now, the trailers you spoke about, are they curated by Tarantino himself? Like, I'm assuming it's not modern day. Like, we're not getting like, oh, the Avengers is coming. You know what I mean? It's not like modern film trailers.
It was it's like curated for those films. So like there are other weird psycho, like Eye of the Cat was about this, mm-hmm. these killer cats. And it had Michael Sarrazin, you know, from Scanners, had him in it. And this cat like jumps on him and, you know, but it was a killer cat. And then the next one was about James Caan, like basically gaslighting a girl and making her think she's crazy and he's messing with. So the previews in the beginning were like another psycho, some psycho thing. And then in between there, they put on Outlaw Josie Wales trailer, but it was like pink, like it had been. Like it's an old trailer, so like the film gets pink. So it's like little pink, and they play that because the next month they were going to, or maybe the next week, they were going to be playing Outlaw Josie Wales.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of like a tease, like, oh, if you like that, now you'll come and see that.
Gotcha.
So yeah. And then the next day we went and saw To Live and Die in L.A. and Drive. Ooh, was a double feature.
That's a great
But I didn't double. Stay for Drive. Yeah, I went for To Live and Die in L.A. on film. It was great. It was packed. So, like, my friend had to sit, like, two in front of me, and I had to sit in the back. And then I met another friend from a podcast, Craig and Friends podcast. And then him and I went outside and talked out front, and they were like, you're going to go in for the double feature? And I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, I'm out here talking. I can see Drive whenever. Like, I'm good. So yeah, it was a real fun, real just communal thing. I got a shirt and went to Amoeba, like a music place. It's like a used record store kind of thing, but they have books and music and everything. It was really neat.
Yeah, your pictures are really great.
Stayed like 3 days and, you know, 2 nights, 3 days, and, you know, saw Carrie Fisher's grave and, you know, Liberace and his mom are buried in L.A. I was surprised. I was like, I thought they'd be in Vegas, but
that's amazing. Yeah, I'm looking forward to whenever it does happen, which seems getting pushed back year by year. Yeah. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Now, kind of speaking of a film reverence, back in late January, during an appearance on the Pure Cinema podcast, Tarantino announced that he was writing another book, a follow-up to his 2022 release, Cinema Speculation, tentatively entitled Cinema Speculation Volume 2. He didn't go into a ton of details about it, other than to reveal he was going to be taking a look at Peter Bogdanovich's What's Up, Doc, the 1972 comedy starring Barbara Streisand and Ryan O'Neal. Now, Mr. Duke, did you yourself read Cinema Speculation? And if so, what were your thoughts on his first go-round?
Here's the thing. You're going to yell at me. I'm sorry.
Not at all.
I got a shitload of books here. And cinema speculation. I'm doing a fucking Quentin Tarantino podcast. I should read the fucking book.
There's probably 12 movies in there that he wanted you to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I read it up to Dirty Harry. I'm on the Dirty Harry episode and chapter. And I was like, well, let me wait on that. I didn't want to burn through it like you did and a lot of other people. I was like, I don't want to burn through it. I don't want to wait. And what's funny about that, there's two things. One is I forget about it until you mention it. Now I'm like, fuck, I got to read that. My other friend, though, that's on the podcast is like, I can't believe you haven't read that. Like you would. And I go, well, I jumped forward and read when we were doing Rolling Thunder episode. Mm-hmm. I read that. And then when recently we did Paradise Alley. So I went and read the Paradise Alley chapter. But it's also what's interesting that he said on Pure Cinema and maybe on Brett Ellis's podcast was like, people are like, so these are movies you love? And he's like, no, they're movies that I have something to say. Mm. Like you can talk about Bullet or you and I would say Seven Samurai. Mm-hmm. What are you going to say about it? It's the masterpiece, the end, you know? So it is interesting where for me, Daisy Miller, I'm like, I don't like period pieces. Seven Samurai separate, but like I haven't watched Age of Innocence by Scorsese because I'm not into it. But I'm going to have to watch it. And I can't watch, you know, Dangerous Liaisons, like all that shit. You know, I just barely saw Barry Lyndon on Christmas Day for the first time. And I was like, okay, like, I like it. But for one, I don't like period pieces. For two, I don't like Ryan O'Neill. Like, and now you're talking this comedy, which I hear everybody loves. But it's like, you know, it's interesting because I haven't read the book, but I understand what he was doing and I liked it. But when you did get the book, you thought, oh, it's going to be all these, you know, Rolling Thunder, White Lightning. It's going to be all the main ones that we heard about when Pulp Fiction first came out. And you and I were scouring the video stores to find all these movies. And then it was like, oh, Daisy Miller. And it's like, oh, it's some, you know, odd things. And you're like, okay. And like you and I said off mic the last time we talked was Quentin Tarantino will never say, my favorite Hitchcock, Vertigo, is a great movie. Like, he wants to dive deep and say, maybe he'll talk more about The Lodger, or maybe he'll just go on somewhere else. He's not going to talk about Kurosawa because he wants to be this outlier, you know? So it's part where you go, okay, are you genuinely this guy? Or are you, you know, like, if you sat with him personally and said, what do you think of Seven Samurai? Would he say, yeah, I liked it? Or would he say, Kurosawa's overrated, you know, or what?
Like, yeah, I know. You don't know what he's going to say.
Yeah. To answer that question, the long way that you're like, shut up already, was I'm excited for another book. I was excited for this book. I was so excited when I got it, started reading it, and I need to finish it. But then also from being on this podcast now that I'm doing, I've now got a book for like the Hammer Dracula movies that I'm reading. I bought a blaxploitation book of a reference guide of all the blaxploitation movies. So, and then I have this big, thick Making of Once Upon a Time in the West book by Peter Frayling or whatever that guy's name is, you know, the historian of the, and so I'm like, and it's a thick book and I'm like, oh my God, it's a coffee table book and I can't sit in the bed and read it because it's way too big. But that's the thing where then I get those, same thing with the movie. I go, I need to stop buying movies. I need to stop buying the books. I need to catch up on reading the books and the movies. And then I can, you know, so yeah, but yes, I'm excited. And your answer, there you go. There's your answer. Yes, I'm excited.
It's great because that was actually my follow-up. But I have another question for you. But originally, the Inglourious Blue Balls that is now a series was born out of myself and Sean wanting to do something on this show together. And we thought, we'll do a cinema speculation thing.
Yeah.
And then we did one episode, which will never see the light of day. We did Bullet. And in it, we were like, we were kind of like, what more can we say that he hasn't said? We were just kind of like, the idea was there. And you're like, oh, I was like, no, that's not going to work out. So we bagged that after one episode. It'll never see or hear the light of day. And so Inglourious Blue Balls was actually born out of its ashes. So a much better position for us. As I was recording, I'm like, I don't know that I want to listen to this. So we were just like, let's bag this fucking thing.
It's, well, and back in the day, you had asked me about being on it. And it was funny. You were like, we could do these 13 movies. And I was like, well, I can't because me and my cousin are doing this list.
That's right.
And like
that was the original idea. Yes,
list.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know. And then the more you think, and it's the other thing though, too, it is better for something like that of these odd different movies, like Daisy Miller. I'm sure you got, it's like Paradise Alley. When me and Craig came on to do the episode that we did on my podcast, we were like, I don't know what Quentin sees in this movie. I get the passion of Stallone being like, not only am I going to write this thing, I'm going to star in it, and I'm going to sing the theme song, and then having it be all over the place with like it's like it doesn't know where it's what's the word I'm looking for, what its thing is, you know, what beat is it, funny is it not funny, like, and it's just went all over the place. So that was a better conversation than if you just came on and, what do you think about The Last Starfighter? It was great when I grew up. And oh, really? What do you think? I think it was great. You know, it's better to kind of bump heads sometimes. Yeah.
Now, he's talked about a lot of things. Obviously, that's why we have another series on it. But I know you're excited for the speculation, too. But would you prefer him to write more about ideas he's had before that could have been movies that now could be in novel form, as opposed to him once again giving us a critique on some films that he has something to say about? Like, I enjoyed the first time, but now at this point, I was not clamoring for a volume two. And obviously I'm going to own it, and if he goes on another book tour, I'll go, because he might say some heinous shit that doesn't come true anyways. Might as well pay that money again.
There's the angry Scott I was looking for.
Exactly, right? But would you prefer something else? Because like one of the first things we talked about for Inglourious Blue Balls was the Vega brothers. And he has said that if he comes up with the right, he's just looking for this catastrophe to happen for the story, and he's really thought about making the Vega brothers in a novel form, and he's talked about doing other things possibly novel form. Would you prefer he puts his, as a fan, his efforts in that, or are you okay with him continually coming out with movie reviews of movies that are long since passed?
It's interesting because with the cinema speaker, that's a good question. That's what famous people say when they're interviewed. It's a good question. I'm glad you asked.
I'm glad you're famous.
But it was a good question. It's the thing of, you would kind of, like you and I said, like, when Pulp Fiction came out, we're blown away.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it on the episode about Mia, where you were like, it was a game changer. And that with that, you and I then said, what else does he like? And on any interview he was on, which then when you and I started our shows, now you're scouring the internet. What did he say about what? You're like, okay, let me go see They Call Her One Eye. Let me go see this. And so I would kind of like him to tell the story of those films that we do want to hear about. But also I get where he's like, I can only say so much about that. I need something, you know, different.
Yeah.
And I think that's why on Video Archives, when they pick the movie, you know, they're like, we're almost going to do this, but then we chose to do this other thing. And I would like both of those. I loved the book of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It was really good. It had more. So it was like, it was funny because he did it backwards. So it was like a novelization, but it was after the movie. So it was, you know, but it was his idea of what he had. And it's like he said about Inglourious Bastards, about the scar on Brad Pitt's neck. Like he goes, nobody knows. I know, but nobody else does. And it's like, you know, I would like to hear that or see the books. And I think he'll come out with them, but the other bad thing is, I don't know about you, I'm a Sam Fuller fan. Sam Fuller, you know, and of course I got into that because of Quentin.
Yep.
And Sam Fuller has all these scripts that his daughter probably has that are sitting at his house that nobody's touched. And it's like, those will never see the light of day, maybe.
I know.
Because they're just, and it's like, I don't want that to happen to Quentin, to him just have them just sitting there and not come out, you know. Or, you know, years later, we'll hear, oh, this book was found. You know, here's a book he was going to do. So, you know, or just a loose outline. But yeah, it's, I would like both. I would like him. I understand his cinema speculation. I understand. I like it because it adds a history. And he's like, I was talking to McQueen's wife, ex-wife, and here's what she said. And you're like, okay, that's some insight. And better than, say, in the book of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, part of me sometimes was like, when he's talking about Brad Pitt, about, you know, him, about Cliff going to movies, I was like, this is Quentin showing off his movie knowledge about The Curious Color Yellow. And you're like, going a little too far. But then you're like, but it's good because then it'll make people write that down, or younger people. You know, you and I came up with Quentin at this time.
Yeah.
Now people might be getting it from the books or getting from whatever, looking up old cowboy shows, you know, or whatever. So, but yeah, but basically, I'm sorry, again, I didn't answer the question.
Absolutely.
I would like to see both, but I would like to see a novelization first again before he does the speculations.
Yeah.
But I think that those are kind of easier because he's written a bit of those on the website for the new Bev. So I think he can just write like a chapter of a thing and put it to the side. And when he's working on a movie, he can't sit and also work on a whole script idea. You know,
good
for
point.
A book.
Good point.
But yeah. I hope the main thing I'm hoping for, the Vega Brothers be cool. The biggest one that I think everybody wants is Kill Bill 3. Like if he just puts that, and even an animated, like get with the people who did Blood the Last Vampire and did the thing for and put that out. Like
we might be talking about that more in May on the Inglourious Blue Balls. That may be the fifth stop that came up in our wheel of decision, like you did.
Yeah.
So yeah. But now it's time to speculate and rumor.
When you little scamps get together, you're worse than a sewing circle.
So, the last time we recorded, we had this, I was in January of the beginning of this year. So, since then, some things have happened. But here's what we knew actually about the movie critic as of January. The actual things we did know. The film takes place in California in 1977. The lead character is based on Jim Sheldon, a movie critic from a 1970s porno rag called The Hollywood Press. He was the second string critic there to William Margold's first string. Now, it also seems that the character is going to be a mishmash of these two men. Tarantino is reportedly preparing to shoot the film this coming fall, which leads us then to believe that probably Christmas time of 2025 looks like the possible release date, or maybe a summer 2026. Those are the two possibilities, depending on how long it takes. Tarantino also publicly stated that he would like Bruce Willis to make his final film appearance to be a cameo in this movie if his illness allows. Now, if you listen to my show, Dropping a Bruce with Steve Smith, as of lately, it does not seem like that's going to be possible as his family really is taking care of him now. So unfortunately, maybe the writer strike, maybe the writer, the actor strike may have hindered this possibility, but who knows? You just never know what might come about, but does feel like we will not see Bruce Willis at all.
Well, I was even thinking of, but I don't think it works because if it's 77, but 79 was the verdict, right? Was that 79?
Around there, yeah.
So like you could almost have the verdict something. You could have something in a paper, something with Bruce Willis's picture, like go into a theater.
Yeah.
But that's 79. That's 2 years later. But who knows how long this is going to be.
This is true.
You know,
he might find a way.
I was thinking that, or like even a Hitchcock thing of like on Lifeboat, where people are like, how's Hitchcock going to be in Lifeboat?
Yeah.
And they open the paper and there's a thing of how to be skinny. And it's,
Now here were the rumors about the film up until January. So obviously we're going to get into some that many people are listening know have dropped since. But writer-director Paul Schrader had claimed that Quentin Tarantino told him that he was going to be using clips from 1970s movies and was also going to be remaking films from that era, a la what he did with The Great Escape in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Now, according to Schrader, Quentin asked him if he could redo the ending to Rolling Thunder, which Paul has given him his approval to do so. Again, there has been no confirmation from the Tarantino camp if this is, in fact, true. Also, in the casting department at the time, the lead role had been offered to Paul Walter Hauser of I, Tonya, and Blackbird fame, and also rumored to have roles in the film were Samuel Jackson, John Travolta, and Kurt Russell. All of these things at the time had not been confirmed nor denied. Now, Mr. Duke, is there anything on either of those two fronts that I have missed as far as things that were actually confirmed and have been rumored up to January of this beginning of this year?
Not that I know of. I mean, I think you have it written down, but there was the thing. Here's the thing. So you hear about Brad Pitt was like that thing came out about maybe Brad Pitt. And I was thinking, who's he going to be? And then you think, oh, I think what he's going to secretly do is we're not going to hear about Leo DiCaprio. It's going to be a secret that's going to pop in there and it's going to be Cliff and, Cliff and Rick.
That might be coming up here in a second.
That's I'm sorry to jump
no,
in.
No.
But that's what I was thinking. But also, you know, you were kind of on your show before, on the one in January, you were like, and before that, you were like, I don't know about this movie critic title. Like, maybe they're going to change it. Maybe it's a Blue Harvest thing for Star Wars, for Empire. It's like, fake. But I think it's real. I think it's more going to be like The Fan with Michael Biehn. Did you ever see that one? And Humphrey Bogart's wife. I think it's going to be like that, but a porno guy, but also a bit of Taxi Driver, a bit of The Fan, a bit of the movies. And with the stuff like you're saying about, I think what he's going to do now, not just a Great Escape type thing, but he's going to change the history like he did with mm-hmm. killing Hitler and like he did with the Manson family. And so I think it's going to be like, I haven't read the original script, but he said Paul Schrader's original ending mm-hmm. and original script was different. And then they changed it when they put out Rolling Thunder. Yep. So I think he's going to somehow remake that. I don't know how, because you don't have Willem Devane and Tommy Lee Jones. But also the other part of me that was thinking, I'm sorry that I'm going all off the racks, off the rails. But I was thinking before, like, oh, it'd be cool if he brought all these 70s actors that I've ran into doing the show now that I'm like, oh, yeah, this guy, oh, that person's still alive. All the people from Switchblade Sisters are still alive. I'm like, he could bring them in. But then the more I think about it, I'm like, no, he's not a Rob Zombie. He's not going to just throw, remember these people? He's going to do it. They'd have to play somebody.
Yeah.
And they're older now. So who are they going to play? And so it's going to be, you know, it's going to be good. It's going to be his love of film. Like, you know, that was his love of LA, was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And now this is going to be his love of film that he grew up with, like the 70s stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I'm sure you're like me, but now you're doing a podcast on it. But where you don't want to analyze it, you're like, just give mm-hmm. it to me. I'd love to see it. Like when you first saw any of the trailers for any of the movies he's done, you've been like, holy shit, mm-hmm. I thought this, and now it's this. Like, oh, that's cool. So, yeah.
I have a feeling that this film is going to be revisionist history, but it's going to be a person who's a film critic who is upset with the way movies end.
Oh, like
kind of like a Travis Bickle. And then as they're writing, maybe this is where we get the day in there. Mm-hmm. How are we just, and this is just a podcast that he's going to write about it, but it'll be in his mind. We're going to see what he would have done as well, how they should have ended.
The critic doing a cinema speculation. And
exactly.
It'll be called Cinema Speculation.
And then they'll have the movie. And as he's writing his review, he would have said, this is how I would have ended the movie. And then you get, boom, we cut to the movie, whatever. But who knows? But that's just, it's just where I'm leaning. But I thought it was a Manson movie with Once Upon a Time, it really wasn't a Manson movie. It had nothing to do with the Manson until the end. So
exactly. But that would be really cool if they did that, because then he could, as he's writing his review, either he's starting to get crazy and he's writing his own ending.
Well, it's kind of like when Rick flashes back to him thinking about being in the scene, you know what I mean? Being in that movie.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's the kind of aspect he might do. But who knows? Who fucking knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But that does bring us to the latest rumors. And as you kind of did say, in February, news broke that Brad Pitt was circling his third appearance in the Tarantinoverse with a role in the upcoming The Movie Critic. While it seems very likely that he will have a role of some kind, as of this recording, nothing has been officially confirmed on that front. Now, contrary to what some shitbag sources have claimed, Brad is not going to be playing the lead in this film. In fact, he never was and never will. This continues to illustrate my point that today's entertainment media is a fucking joke. If they had bothered to check sources or previous announcements on this film, they would have known that QT is looking for the lead to be someone in the mid to late 30s. And no matter how many facelifts Mr. Pitt gets, he still doesn't look 35. And he has recently had a facelift, and he looks amazing, and they did a great job, but he doesn't look 35. He looks an amazing 50, whatever it is, but he doesn't look 35.
Yeah.
So, but this is one of those things that has chafed my ass. That's why they have never asked Tarantino, when did you decide to change the TV show to this movie? No one asks questions, and then they hear, oh, Brad Pitt, well, he's going to be the star because it's a big name. Well, you clearly didn't fucking read anything prior to this, and then they just run with it. So fuck them all. Anyways, Mr. Duke, are you excited by the prospect of Mr. Pitt being in this film? And given what the movie is said to be about and what we were just kind of alluding to, what do you think the chances are he's reprising his role as Cliff Booth?
I think that will be cool. I love how they work together. I love that when he was going to do Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and he shows up at Quentin's house and he's got a DVD in his hand. He goes, I got a movie ready to show you. And he's like, what is it? He goes, Billy Jack on DVD. I got it. And he goes, I got it already threaded in the projector. Like, we're thinking alike. Like, I'm going to show you who you are. And so that's good. The way that they work together is great. So I think that'll be good. And if it is Cliff, you know, Booth, like that'll work out great. And if it's, you know, Rick being in some movie that he kind of speculated about, you know. And here's the thing. Nobody talks about this. Do you remember when Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was coming out, you could go on IMDb and it had Rick Dalton's thing listed? Yep. And then you would go back to look a couple of days later and it was gone. And I was like, oh, fuck, I wish I would have
screenshots
of everything, motherfucker. But it's that thing. Like, he's going to put him in some of those movies or something, hopefully. And if not, it'll just be a stunt guy thing with, you know, maybe Rick Booth or, with Cliff Booth. But yeah, I think that I'm excited about this movie because it's film. We all love, I don't know if you've talked about it much, but what I love, it's the thing of going to see Reservoir Dogs. And I like you, I rented it and was like, holy shit. My cousin was like, you fucking idiot. You keep bragging all about Pulp Fiction. Are you going to go see it? It's your favorite movie. He did one before. I'm like, did he? What did he? It's Reservoir Dogs. Fucking let me show you. And I'm like, oh shit, that's good. He's like, fuck, told you. So in there when he's like, no, Pam Grier did the TV, you know, did the movie. Who did the TV show? I don't know. Now I'm fucking tortured. All the shit they're talking about, the Madonna, like everything. You're just like, this is how I talk with my friends. This is cool. Like, I love it. You know, Jackie Brown, my favorite part when he's like, don't mess with the levels. You're like, don't mess with the levels.
Don't mess with them. Like,
you know, all those little things. So I think this is going to be fun for fans of 70s movies. And especially me on this journey now where I used to be kind of like you and a little of like the higher end movies.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I watched a Thriller. They call her One Eye Crow Picture, whatever. I watched that once and I was like, oh, Quentin likes this. It's done horribly. The lighting's bad. The acting's bad. But now, like recently, as of us recording, I did Mausoleum. And it's like a Marjo Gortner movie. And it's a real weird, like, you know, where the mob was funding it and they got in trouble and all this stuff, but it's fun. But now I'm on this other side of it where now I'm like, oh, I get it. Like, oh, this is fun. They were doing something. I like it. So I'm excited about that of like, maybe it's going to be some movies that you've never heard of. It's like after Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I went and found the Operation Dynamite where he jumps over the bridge. I watched it and I'm like, that's a pretty good little movie, but it made you dive deep and go like all these things do. So I think that'll be fun.
I agree. Now, if Brad isn't reprising the role, whom from the 70s film era do you think he might be playing? I felt that maybe a Robert Redford, but I don't think Robert Redford is in his 50s back then. However, Brad is a little bit fresher face right now, but because they did work well together in Tony Scott's movie Spy Game, I thought they were great together. I could see Brad playing a Robert Redford type, or who knows what he might be, because if he's not going to be Cliff, if you know, if he doesn't want to continue down the path of Once Upon a Time, but still have a vein of what if we revisit, you know, we revision these other movies and, you know, and kind of left Once Upon a Time as his own world, even though it's in his Tarantino verse, but like kind of left them alone and didn't bring back Rick Dalton and it just be a sequel to Once Upon a Time, then who else can you envision Mr. Pitt playing from the 70s? And considering he is now in his late 50s.
I was thinking, although I don't think they'd go this angle anymore, but I think it would be like somebody like Al Pacino was like the manager, you know, the something like that, or at least a director, maybe some famous movie director from that time.
Maybe Brian De Palma.
Maybe. Oh, that'd be interesting.
Brad's good at growing the hair and he could put a beard on me. He, you know, he had a beard in that movie, The Big Short. Yeah. You know, I mean, he could easily do that.
But also the thing that I think it might be Cliff is because 2019, Once Upon a Time, you know, so now it's been 5 years and, you know, so 69 to 77, you know, so it's almost leading up to that length. Yeah. But it would be really cool if he was that, but it would also be different to be somebody else, like somebody in, like I said, a director or something. And I think that that would be interesting and hopefully he'll do something. I got this movie that I had sent to me called Stunt Rock and it's all about these crazy stunts. And so hopefully he'll focus on all the stunts, like, you know, from the 70s, like they did crazy stunts that you don't see today, you know? Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm not sure, but I think it's going to be, you know, a variation, like you said, of a Travis Bickle, like everybody said, like Travis Bickle, but like the fan, like of a guy who likes this actress or somebody who's upset with Hollywood or something, you know? So
should be interesting whenever it does come out. Now, just when you thought Brad Pitt was the biggest announcement you could get, a couple of weeks later, a certain gentleman said, hold my beer. And in February, it was announced that Tom Cruise whom Tarantino had originally wanted to play the role of Cliff Booth in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, is circling a role in the movie Critic as well. Now, the two have wanted to work with one another for some time, and it finally seems as if this could be a reality. And once again, no official confirmation has been made or denied in the same respect, like just about every other rumor involving this film, but Tom having a role, oof, that would be very exciting. Yeah. And Tom, I understand his personal life is a bit of a fucking shit show, and that's being polite. However, as an actor, the guy has all the range in the world, and unfortunately, I think, you know, his... he gets held to under a light and maybe fair, but he also saved the movie, not the movie business, but the cinema business.
Yeah.
The going to the movies with Top Gun Maverick almost 2 summers ago, that brought people back to the movies. Yeah. Cinemas were dying after COVID, but Top Gun saved it. So what do you think about this announcement? When you first heard it, we were excited. And what do you think Tarantino, if they are going to work together, can bring out of Mr. Cruise? And will we get one of those like Pacino / De Niro roles where like when De Niro's in, you know, De Niro's this verbose guy who's known for playing eclectic characters, and here he's playing this pothead who barely speaks in Jackie Brown. And then Pacino, similar, he's Mommy Schwartz. Yeah. Like he's this little funny little producer guy in Hollywood. You know, like what do we think Tom Cruise is going to play? And how excited were you when you thought that maybe the stars have aligned?
So when I first heard this, I said, whatever, it's rumor. Nah, it's not, you know, circling. Maybe they don't know. But then you read the thing when he recently said, I want to go with other directors who are doing like, almost like I could see him being like, hey, Yorgos, what do you got going on? I'm going to be in a Yorgos Lanthimos movie.
Yeah.
Because we saw him do it with Magnolia, like doing something Paul really Thomas weird.
Anderson, yep.
And so you could see him being like, now where he's like, okay, I'm not going to do these big blockbusters. I want to work with whoever, you know, he's already worked with Michael Mann, but I'll work with Quentin, and I'll work with, you know, like I said, Yorgos or, you know, any of these people. So now I'm like, oh, I could see that happening. And I don't know who he would play.
I was going to just ask that next. Who do you think he would play from the 70s?
I think that's interesting. Like you would almost want him to play that guy, play the porn rag guy.
I was thinking, what if he's like the owner of the porn rag? Because he played that great Grossman character in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
Amazing role, but not to the same vein, but he can clearly do a bit of the sleazeball thing. It'd be great to see him not be like a hero type, you know?
And those are the things that he brings to it. You know that Quentin has his own thing, but you know that Tom Cruise was like, I know this guy, he's got big hands. And and they're like, okay, hair on my chest, give me all that. And they gave him all that, and he made it work. And he's like, then I'm going to dance. And they're like, okay, try it. And he did. Yeah, I think that would be good if he was like the boss of the porno rag. I was like, what are you doing? How can we relate? You know. And that's the other thing where people would expect, oh, it's going to be a big, big thing. And he's like a Marvin Schwartz, like just barely in it. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Be cool.
Yeah, I mean, because I think Tom is, you know, some of these aging stars, you know, you've got, I'm hoping Nick Cage is going to get in there because I love Nick Cage, but I don't know that he'll get in for this. It'd be great. It'd be a shame if the two of them never got to work together. But you got Tom, who's looking to do, I think he's putting away the action hero spurs with this last movie coming out for Mission Impossible. You got Tarantino retiring. You've got Nicolas Cage saying he's got 4 or 5 more films left in him, and he's retiring. So we're starting to see the end of an era. So some of these people are trying to be like, you know, I want to see who are the other people I can work with before I hang it up. To make sure that I've gotten the most out of my career so that when I'm gone and they flick on the lights and someone puts on my movie, they go, oh, yeah, that's right. He was in this film or he was in that film. So,
and I think there's one person who could do it. If it's anybody, it's Quentin, because that was my thing. You think, like, if Nicolas Cage is going to be on the movie, it's going to pull you out. You're going to, oh, it's Nicolas Cage. There he is. There's Tom Cruise. But I think if the way Quentin does it, it would be so just dialed down where you would just be like, oh my God, like so subtle where, you know, it wouldn't stand out. It would be great. So
I agree.
Hopefully. And that's the thing you were talking about, people. So with Tom Cruise, I'm like, forget about your personal life. You're a good actor. I like your movies. With Mel Gibson, I'm like, okay, you said some shit, but Danny Glover's still your friend. So he can't be that bad. you're still a good actor. I'm good. You know, the Michael Jackson thing. I'm like, no, I'm done. Like,
we all have our line in the sand. We won't cross.
Exactly.
Now, this information is, you know, when you hear it's about 2 weeks old. And so this is some insider information that right now has been brought to me by my good friend and co-host on the Inglourious Blue Ball series, Mr. Sean Wheeler. Now, on Saturday, March 23rd, and we are recording on the 25th, 2 days post, my friend reaching out to me and calling me. Mr. Wheeler, as all know, he runs his own record label called Scareflare Records, and he attends many horror conventions and runs in and hobnobs with a lot of, you know, famous people. You know, look, he's not running into like Tarantino and that, because those people don't do that. But he also met Eli Roth this past weekend, and he got a bat signed from the Bear Jew. So a pretty cool experience for him. Now, he attended the Horror Hound Weekend in Cincinnati, Ohio, where he had an opportunity to speak with Mr. Paul Walter Hauser. Now, Mr. Hauser relayed to Mr. Wheeler that he has, as of yet, not been offered the role of the lead in the movie critic. In fact, he was taking a shit one day on the set of his latest project when his phone and Twitter began blowing up. He has no idea where or how the rumor started that he was going to be the lead in the film, but it may have ended up being beneficial to him anyways. Upon hearing the news, he called his agent, who had no idea what he was talking about. His agent then called Mr. Tarantino's agent, whom also had no idea why this rumor had been reported. Yeah. However, due to the public interest in said rumor, Mr. Hauser has an audition for the role at a later date, once Mr. Tarantino finishes polishing up the script, which he has been doing apparently since the writers and actor strike, according to Mr. Hauser's agent. Also, according to Mr. Hauser's agent, that Mr. Hauser passed along to Mr. Wheeler, it's like a game of telephone. Two actors have apparently been officially, but not publicly confirmed to have roles, and that is Brad Pitt and Samuel L. Jackson. Now, once again, that being said, nothing official or publicly has been confirmed that they are in. This is just, obviously, from the word of mouth. It may be true, but we won't know until it's official. Lastly, and this got me excited because it's, look, I'll be honest, because it affects me directly, but Mr. Hauser passed along to my good friend, Mr. Wheeler, his and his agent's contact info, and has promised that if he gets the role, he will come on to this podcast and talk to us about his experience filming the movie critic post-wrap of filming. Sweet. But again, a lot of stars still have to align for that to happen. I may even try to bring him on even afterwards just to see what his career has been like post the rumor, if it helped spark some new interest in some other projects that he was able to gain from it. But Mr. Duke, what do you make of this information concerning the fake rumor of Mr. Hauser's casting, Brad and Sam seeming to be in the film, and do you like Mr. Hauser for the lead if he gets the part?
It's funny. I loved him in I, Tonya. And I loved him in the Clint Eastwood movie.
The Richard Jewell one?
And so I think he'll do good, and he'll be, and it'll be different. He's a great actor. He does all kinds of different things. I'm using my hands a lot, Tuck. And then the other thing with, like, that's the, like, everybody's thinking, like, if Sam Jackson's in it, like, Sam Jackson's going to be a blaxploitation actor of some sort. It'll be a Fred Williamson, or it'll be, or he'll just be another actor. Yeah. Or maybe that really cool guy, Thelmas Masulula, who was in Blackula. Mm-hmm. He looks badass. But I think that's great. I think that's a great info that you got. Like, that's awesome. That's a hot take. And I think if he does get it, it would be good. But also, it's that other thing again where we don't know. Is it going to be, how is he going to do the movie stuff? Like you said, is it going to be in his mind, in the guy's mind? But I think he would be perfect for it because he's that right age. And he looks a little, he could look like in I, Tonya. He was like, looks sweaty and like creepy. And like, you're like, I don't want this guy around me. Like, don't use this guy for anything. And they did. So, yeah, I think it'd be great. And I think, you know, with, you know, like we said about Brad Pitt already, but Sam Jackson and, you know, of course, Sam Jackson has to be in it. We knew that. But good, you know, it's not just
it's just a voice dunk,
like Inglourious. It's going to be, you know, some shit. He should have won an award for fucking Django, but he didn't. Like, oh, it's so good.
He should have won an award for the least three out of the four movies he's been in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be exciting because if you do look at Paul Walter Hauser, those of you who don't know what we're talking about, it just keep in your mind, he's a porn rag movie critic. And when you have that in mind, you see a picture of him, you go, Jesus fucking Christ, that's who I had in my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember when I looked at the picture, I was like, oh my God, no, he's like, that's perfect. Like, he is actually the perfect person to play that role. You're kind of like, no, yeah, that makes 100% exactly sense that he would get it. Yeah. So, and he's a spectacular actor. He really is good. And I think his craft, his ability in the hands of then Tarantino, the two of them together, I think it could be magic. I really do think he could be really good. And look, I'll be honest with you. Now it's a self-serving prophecy right now. Now I definitely want him to have it because that's, you know, how else do you want? I mean, that might be the final episode of the podcast, but bam, thank you very much. Good night. I'm out of here.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, that's what we've got so far. So we're circling. We don't know.
Yeah.
Hopefully this fall. But we are in the springtime. We're in March or April when you all hear this. And by the time we hit July, in the next 3 months, you would hope that there's going to be some more confirmation because the longer it takes, the longer it gets pushed back. So we'll find out. Maybe one day we will learn if this was in fact. Ooh, and that is one question I will ask him. If he does get it, I will ask him if he found out for fact that the TV show did become this movie. I've got to find it. I'm going to get my answer one day. I'm going to get that goddamn answer.
Yeah.
I already know the answer, but I just want to confirm.
So
I'm looking forward to see what comes in the next 3 months. Maybe we'll actually hear that Tom is in, Brad is in. Maybe we'll get some real names and they'll start filming coming up in the fall. But once again, we're kind of like in that dead year because a year ago when he made the new announcement, you know, because in November of 2022, it was a TV show. Suddenly he was on the book tour in 2023. He was over there in France and he said, nope, I'm doing a movie, and that was a year ago now. And so for the last year, obviously the strikes have hurt, but the movie should have already been filmed. Yeah. I mean, in theory, the movie was supposed to film last fall.
And there's even pictures of that Tower Records that they have in L.A. that people are like, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So some of the stuff's already made. They just haven't, you know. But, yeah, it's going to take a lot, just like them redoing that whole thing. You know, some people from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood were like, just leave my storefront. I like the way it looks. I'm going to leave it that way.
It's amazing, yeah.
Pretty cool.
And that's a wrap on our spring edition of our Tarantino Speculation series. I would once again like to thank my special guest, Mr. Phil Duke, host of the Making Tarantino podcast, for joining me. Now, you can find the links to the Making Tarantino podcast and the show's socials in our show notes. And as always, you can become a member of the Church of Tarantino by following us on all of our socials. Now, be sure to subscribe, like, and follow this podcast so that you can stay up to date on our Tarantino Speculation series. New episodes drop quarterly. So please join me again next week as Frank Cannon from the Bachata Talk podcast joins me on our character study series as we take a look at the black, bald, and doesn't look like a bitch gangster, Marcellus Wallace, to see what makes him tick. So until then, I'm the Reverend Scott K. May Tarantino be with you always.
This has been a Man with an Exceptional Beard production.